Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, Jesus asked his disciples who the people thought he was. The answers went from the specific to the generic. Some thought Jesus was the resurrected John the Baptist. Others thought he was Elijah or Jeremiah. And others still thought he was one of the prophets. It's clear from these answers that the people truly had no idea who Jesus was. Every suggested identity was incorrect, even though they reflected an awareness of the scriptures that is commendable. These people knew that Jesus was someone important, but they were simply unable to figure out who he was. On that particular occasion, when the Lord asked the 12 who they thought he was, they had the correct answer. In verse 16, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, whether they fully understood the significance of the Lord's identity is not certain, but they were far ahead of the people in knowing who the Lord was. Who Jesus is continues to be an important question that must be answered correctly if we hope to please him. In one way or another, each person will ponder the Lord's identity, and how they answer that question will have great bearing on his or her eternal destiny. Like the people of whom the Lord spoke in Matthew 16, many today have varying ideas of who Jesus is. And like the people in Matthew 16, most have an inaccurate view of him. The most reliable source to answer the question of who the Lord is the Lord himself. For a few moments this morning, we'll take a look at a few examples of how the Lord identified himself in Scripture. The beginning point for our discussion is the unusual encounter between the Lord and Saul of Tarsus as Saul was traveling to Damascus looking for Christians. The record of this event is found in Acts chapter 9, in chapter 22, and also in chapter 26. In the first instance, Luke was simply reporting what happened to Saul. That's Acts chapter 9. In the other two instances, Paul was telling the story of his conversion, first to a group of Jews in Jerusalem, that's chapter 22, and then to King Agrippa and the Roman governor Festus in Caesarea, that's chapter 26 of Acts. In each case, the story is the same. Saul and his companions were suddenly engulfed in a bright light around noontime as they neared the city of Damascus. In Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 8, Paul recalled this event in these words. He said, "But it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.'" It is clear from each record of this event that Saul of Tarsus had no idea as to the identity of the one who was speaking to him from the bright light. Some suggest that Saul may have known it was Jesus because of his use of the word Lord as he spoke to the voice. Although we recognize that Jesus is Lord and was Lord when Saul spoke to him, the term Lord was a common way of addressing one of higher rank or social status. When Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" he was acknowledging the fact that he was addressing a superior. Being a Pharisee, Saul very likely thought an angel of God was speaking to him. This was one way that God had spoken to mankind in the past, and if it were the case in this instance, Saul was responding with appropriate respect. We know, of course, that it was the Lord himself speaking because he identified himself in verse 8. The very simple answer that he gave, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting," conveyed much more than the Lord's name and hometown. Every member of the Jewish ruling class knew exactly who Jesus the Nazarene was. Whether Saul had ever seen or heard Jesus is not revealed in Scripture, and it is immaterial to our discussion. The point is that with this answer, Saul knew without a doubt whose voice this was. He knew it was the one the rulers of the Jews convinced Pilate to crucify, and whose followers he was persecuting. He learned also by the Lord's comment that his actions against Christians were actions against Jesus himself, who was obviously alive. When Saul understood who Jesus was, his life was transformed. The preacher Ananias came to him in Damascus after 3 days had passed and commanded Saul to get up and be baptized and wash away his sins. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. The Lord had told Saul in verse 10 to go into the city where he would be told what he must do, and Ananias told him to be baptized and to wash away his sins. We know that Saul obeyed this command because in Acts chapter 26 and verse 19, Paul told King Agrippa that he did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. When people of honest heart learn who Jesus really is, they also will be obedient to the Lord's will, just as Saul of Tarsus was. When we ask the question today, "Who are you, Lord?" there are a number of answers presented in the Scriptures. Each of these reveals something of our Lord's multifaceted identity. For purposes of our study, we will look at 6 ways in which the Lord answered this question in the writings of John. Then we will return to Paul's inspired teaching for a final facet of the Lord's identity. The first answer the Lord gave to our question is found in John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. As he was talking with a Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar, she did not ask who Jesus was, but alluded to the expectation that the Messiah would one day come. In response to her comment, the Lord said, "I who speak to you am he." Now the Jewish term Messiah stood for the promised Redeemer. He would be the one who dealt the death blow to Satan and bring the hope of eternal life to mankind. Jesus said, "I am he. I am the Messiah, the Redeemer of all mankind." In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus answered the question of his identity again. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." All throughout the Scriptures, sin and wickedness are characterized as darkness. Jesus himself spoke of outer darkness, where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. This is one way in which eternal punishment is described in Scripture. Jesus, however, is light, which is always used to describe righteousness in the Scriptures. Light is the antithesis of darkness. All who are in Christ are in the light and have a home in heaven prepared for them. In John chapter 6, verses 35 and 48, Jesus identified himself as the bread of life. He made this statement in the aftermath of feeding 5,000, and he did so in order to show the people that there is more to life than physical food. In verses 50 and 51, he said, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Lord's point, of course, is that eternal life may only be obtained by partaking of the bread of life, which is one's obedience to all that the Lord commanded. He illustrated this truth when he was being tempted by the devil. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus identified himself in another way. He identified himself as the Good Shepherd. In this characterization of himself, the Lord was using a symbol with which his audience was familiar. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus feeds, shelters, and protects his flock, and he laid down his life for them. In this identification, the Lord was telling the people that there was no one else who would care for them as he would. The message, of course, is the same today. No one will ever care for you as much as Jesus does, because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The final example from the Gospel of John as to Jesus' identity is found in John chapter 14 and verse 6. This statement was made by the Lord on the night in which he was betrayed. He was preparing his disciples for his departure by assuring them that he would prepare a place for them in heaven and then return to receive them into that place. They had no idea where the Lord was going or how to get there. When they asked the Lord about this, he responded with these words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In this statement, the Lord identified himself in three ways, yet they all refer ultimately to a single reality that is summed up in his statement that no one can come to the Father but through him. As we consider these three characterizations, we must first recognize that the Lord used the definite article with each one. There is only one way, and Jesus is it. There is only one truth, and Jesus is it. And there is only one life, meaning eternal life, and Jesus is it. The bottom line is that Jesus is the only means by which one may enter the place that he has prepared for the righteous. Trying to get there by any other means is futile. Now we move to the book of Revelation, where Jesus identified himself one final time. At the beginning of this great vision, John heard a loud voice telling him to write in a book the Lord's message to the seven churches of Asia. It was the resurrected and glorified Jesus who spoke to John on this occasion, and he identified himself in Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. In this place the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." John had opened his gospel account by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." That's from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. By identifying himself as the first and the last here in Revelation, the Lord was assuring John that he was indeed the one and only Son of God. He was also assuring John that he was indeed still alive. He is the living one, and he is alive forevermore. The message of Revelation, then, was authoritative in every sense because it came to John from a living member of the Godhead. Now, Jesus repeated this characterization of himself at the very end of Revelation in order to put an exclamation point on this message to the churches of the first century. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13, the Lord said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." This declaration reminds us that everything to do with eternal life begins and ends with our Lord Jesus Christ. God truly summed up all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. In Revelation 22 and verse 12, Jesus said his reward is with him, and this leads us to who Jesus is in a most important sense. He is our judge at the end of time. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, Paul said, "God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through the one whom he raised from the dead." That person is Jesus, the living one. Friends, Jesus is the Messiah, the light of the world, the bread of life, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and the life, the Alpha and the Omega, and the righteous judge. Today, he can also be your Lord if you will obey his gospel by being baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins. Knowing who the Lord is, how can you prove disobedient to his will? Thanks very much for listening this morning. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.